FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's October 16th, 2017. Well, Bitcoin just did a massive breakout. What else is in store for the erstwhile digital cryptocurrency? Well, Andrew Hoffman over at CryptoGoldCentral.com is with us now. Andy, happy Monday.
And the same to you. My Mondays are no different as far as the you know, what I do with them. I wake up super early. I got up at 2:30 this morning to go to the gym. But when I come home, I'm not compiling dozens and dozens of zero hedge articles. I am writing about cryptocurrency with a smattering of gold here and there. And there's so much to talk about in both worlds. But, you know, right now, the breakout in Bitcoin is the main story.
Yeah. Where is it at right now as we speak? I haven't had a chance to look yet today.
5,700. More importantly, it just surpassed Goldman Sachs's market capitalization last week at $95 billion. And when it gets to $100 billion, not only is that a key psychological level, but more importantly, it pretty much puts it in play for every major institution in the world. You know, I mean, the biggest institutions in the world may have limits, like when you're the Swiss bank printing money and buying stocks, you'll only buy like the Apples of the world that have these giant market capitalization. So I think the 100 million level is going to be a major point for people to get recognition of it around the world. The mainstream media may even say some nice things about it. And more importantly, Bitcoin's dominance, meaning the market capitalization of Bitcoin versus the rest of the crypto sector, has been rising significantly as well, as people are starting to realize that if you invest in some of these other ones, they are, for all intents and purposes, in most cases, just tech stocks in very early stages. So when you look at, you know, Bitcoin's doing all these things, it's already an operating company, let's call it, as opposed to all these startups. And you realize that that's where the majority of the money is going to go for some time.
Yeah. Well, it's rather shocking. I mean, it was just a short while ago, it was stuck at $200 a Bitcoin. And here we are. It's performed better than anything else out there by a long shot.
Yes, been the, if you want to call it a currency, I'm not sure if that's the word I'd use for it. It's been the best performing currency every year of its existence in the world, except for one, 2014, which was after the Mt. Gox crash. But aside from that, every year it's grown. Right now, Bitcoin adoption is doubling every 12 months as far as the amount of people, the amount of transactions. And, you know, I saw this great a picture today. I think it was mainstream newspaper showed a picture of New York City Street in 1900, where there was one car, and then in 1913, where there was one horse. And I think, I'm not sure it's that dramatic, but if you look 13 years from now, I think it's going to be amazing that all the people who, you know, today, they say, what's that Bitcoin? I heard of it, as opposed to it's ubiquitous in society.
Yeah, completely ubiquitous. And I think, you know, it's got a lot to recommend it. There's still other things to work out, but they're certainly on their way to working them out, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's funny because you know, today I'm writing about some other things. It's almost like I don't even have to write about the same monetary things all the time. You know, because in gold, you're looking for reasons that'll drive demand, or more importantly, drive demand that might be able to be enough to break the cartel. But you don't really need that in Bitcoin because it's a new technology in and of itself that's replacing what's going on in the world. It's not just a safe haven asset; it's people flocking to it. But you know, when I see. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. For the first time, Kerry, I just lost track of my thought. So
it happens to everyone, believe it or not.
I can't remember. I can't remember the last time I did that, but I just lost track of my thought. I'll get it back later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So what does it mean for the other cryptocurrencies?
Oh, yes. I got it back right now. I was talking about the other monetary things going on in the world. And I see that on just this month, Russia introduced a crypto ruble, And this is real. I mean, and the thing is that it gets press in the mainstream as if it's like some big monetary phenomenon. The problem is it's not a currency at all. It's just the ruble, which they're going to gradually make people use instead of regular rubles. In other words, they're taking the society cashless, but they're going to pretend that it's like that they're being modern and doing something exciting. But it, if you read what it is, it's actually worse than the current ruble, because the government can control everything. They can have heavy taxes if you try to go back and forth between the two. And eventually they'll make everyone use these things and they'll monitor all your transactions like Big Brother, which is exactly the kind of thing we've been talking about and worrying about for the last year or two. And it's coming to fruition in Russia. And the other thing I saw is with all that's going on in Europe, in Italy, they're talking about now, seriously, this has been going on for some time, but now it's on the table, a real proposal. And again, this isn't just a Bitcoin thing. This is a gold thing. This is a serious monetary issue. Italy is thinking about creating a parallel currency to the euro. And the reason being, of course, because they cannot print their own currency. And they have some of the worst finances in all of Europe. That's why they have... And that's why the five-star movement is so big. So they want to create a second currency, which enables them to print money outside of the dictates of the euro. So they can hyperinflate on two fronts. And you just look at this stuff and you go, does anyone really think that fiat currency has any kind of future?
Hey, and while we're at it, what about Austria over the weekend?
Yeah, I saw. And it was weird because he's the prime minister. I remember they had only about last fall, they had that other presidential election, but I guess that was for the figurehead, the one that the anti-establishment guy got to a runoff, but then he lost. But that was like the equivalent, like in Russia, you have the prime minister, you have the premier and the president. So Putin is the big guy, and then the Medvedev is the second guy that doesn't matter. But this one yesterday in Austria was the real guy, the one that matters, right? The prime minister.
Exactly. Yes. And, 31 years old. He's a nationalist and he wants to crack down on immigration. I mean, this was like a real body blow to the EU, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's like a Marine Le Pen type. But the thing is, I saw he didn't win like a majority in the parliament. So it's going to be one of those things. But the fact is, he sounds a lot like, just from the cursory things I've read, like Marine Le Pen, like very much against what the parties in Brussels want. And again, and this is only a week after the Catalonian secession vote, which is, we're still waiting to see what will happen, because the Spanish government says, yeah, but the people who didn't want to secede didn't vote. And if you actually go through with it, we're going to take you over. But the point is, these movements are going on everywhere, and then they will continue to go on because people are angry. And the more the governments try to fight it with draconian measures and then now with these like ridiculous hyperinflationary currencies, it's just going to make things worse. It's going to drive people out of the system. It's going to drive, it's going to only drive the inevitable takeover of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and it's going to drive people into gold.
Yeah, there's a certain inevitability to it all, isn't there?
it's a mathematical inevitability, and that's what's so funny, that everyone thinks, I've always said it's, they've created fintech that has enabled them to make the game go on. I mean, the ability to hold gold down is no small feat, but with the financial technology that they have, they can do that. They can also make the stock market go up indefinitely. And that I 100% believe that they could do that the stock market, they literally can make it never go down. The problem is, of course, in the physical gold market, you have the issue of now mine supply is collapsing while demand is increasing. They'll have to deal with that down the road. But they, when it comes to financial technology, it doesn't hold a candle to what Bitcoin is. I mean, it's literally throwing stones against cannons. And, the Wall Street thinks they're so smart because they have this mechanism which makes them wealthy and keeps the game going, but they don't realize what they're good. It's really going to be David versus Goliath, because this is the first time that the 99% have something they can fight back with, and they will fight back, and they are. And that's why Bitcoin adoption is rising so fast, and now that it's churning through all the growing pains that it's had. I mean, I talk about how it grows in double dog years. Like, I can't even believe, I mean, it was just 3 months ago, people were worried about hard forks. Now people embrace them. Or if you look back to, you're talking about, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and the price was $200, and everyone was like, this thing is dead. And now it's about to take over the world. It is really amazing how much has advanced the SegWit activation, the thwarting of the hard forks. And now the realization that the network is getting much stronger, much faster than anyone could have imagined. It's really the most exciting thing I've ever come across.
It's like Skynet's taken over, you know? They just can't stop it.
Yeah, of course, though, it's not like Skynet because it is the consensus of the people that is Skynet. Mm-hmm. And that's, it really is. It's like, you know, when you see these, the hard fork fears, it was because people in the net, people didn't realize if you could, in fact, commandeer the network. If you're powerful, if you're rich and powerful, or if you're even connected to the Chinese government, which I have no doubt some of those bad actors are. And it turns out all attempts have fallen flat in their face. I mean, think about how bad, like Jamie Dimon, like symbolizes someone who always gets what he wants. He can say what he wants. He can do what he wants. He can be like Al Capone. He can just be a criminal in plain sight. He can rig markets without any reservation and just become a bigger billionaire and get, you know, nominated to be the Fed chairman, all these kind of things. But look at how stupid he looks right now. It's very telling that this guy can't keep his mouth shut looking stupid because Wall Street can't fight against this. This is something far more powerful than high frequency algorithms.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's got a few more advances that it has to make where then it really will become a currency. And, you know, you use it to pay for stuff. And I think we'll probably see that happen, you know, in the next year. Most of the updates that are necessary.
Now that SegWit's activated, the updates, the amount of money that's going to be invested, I'm not even talking about invested in like the coin, like to in the price, but I'm talking about in actually upgrading the network. Now that SegWit has been activated, it's kind of the sky's the limit. And the thing is, you know, yes, it and other, by the way, other cryptocurrencies will be currencies as well. Bitcoin is not going to monopolize the whole world in that sector, but in the store of value space, it is definitely monopolizing because before you can be a currency, you have to be sound money. And that's why it was so important to get SegWit activated and to show that these hard forks cannot split the network because ultimately, you know, for the whole world to use it, they have to trust it. And that's what we're seeing grow at an exponential rate. That's why the price is $5,700 because people are starting to trust it as they should. And to me, you know, it's like I spent years and years thinking of my wealth in terms of how many ounces of gold that I have. And I still hold a good position in gold and intend to for posterity. But more and more, even I am starting to think that how many Bitcoin you own is going to be the best way to measure your wealth going forward.
Yeah, well, it certainly looks like there's a good chance of that. I mean, well, we'll see. I guess, does it keep going straight up from here, Andy? Does it take a breather? What's going to happen here?
Well, I mean, technically speaking, you know, who knows? It's had, but I'm not going to say because it's had a big rise, it has to have a big fall. I mean, look, we just did have a big fall, right? It got to 5,000 and then, you know, the Chinese said they're banning Bitcoin. It went to 3,000 briefly. So that's a 40% drop. Mm-hmm. And now we're back at 5,700. But the point is that the pace of adoption is growing as fast as the price. Yeah. I mean, we're up 10 times in price this year. That's great. But the adoption is doubling every year right now. But, you know, it's going to, you know, a year from now, it'll probably be going up more than double every 12 months. So and of course, markets tend to discount things in advance. So I don't think that, I mean, it's still going to be volatile because there's still only 16 million outstanding, of which several million have been lost. And a whole bunch of them are in strong hands that aren't going to be selling. But, I wrote this again. I'm on this CryptoGoldCentral.com. It's the greatest thing I've ever done. I've been in business for just over a month and I have like 300 posts. I'm writing about all these things. And one of the things I wrote about the other day was I called it anti-volatility because in Bitcoin, people like to use the term anti-fragile show that the more that people attack it, the stronger it gets. Well, one of the big criticisms, you know, from the Peter Schiffs and all these people don't realize that it's still growing, is that when you're very small, of course, you're going to be volatile. I mean, when there's so much demand for something with such a small float, and there's so many news items that are impacting it, you're going to have volatility. But the thing is, it's becoming less and less volatile each day as more and more people come in and the price gets higher and more people trust it. And I really think that, you know, this particular jump this weekend to nearly 100 billion market cap is going to really start to make it more anti-volatile. And the less volatile it gets, you know, the less criticisms you have and the more people in the mainstream are going to want to invest in it.
No doubt. Yeah, it's gaining credibility here and critical mass while it gains credibility. Interesting. Hey, well, gold's back up over 1300 and, you know, it's been struggling, but it looks like it's getting ready to break out as well, doesn't it?
Well, the thing with gold is, and, you know, I mean, Bitcoin has a mining cost. The cost is probably $1,000, although there's, I mean, next week we can talk about some of the other hard forks coming that are going to, you know, different variations of it. But gold's mining cost is probably about 1300. It's the all in cost is a lot higher than that. I mean, that would be the cost to replace reserves, which have been falling for like a decade. So if you really wanted to replace them, it would probably be $2,000 an ounce, because mine production is now going to be falling 20% over the next decade. The mining industry is decimated. That's why, among other things, when people get all excited about mining stocks, so they're going to go up with gold. How much are they going to go up with gold when the production just keeps falling and falling and falling? I mean, you got to have a product to sell. And so, but if you own actual gold and you realize that mining cost is creeping higher and higher and the all-in cost is just rising dramatically. I remember it was like 4 or 5 years ago where the CEO of Goldfields, one of the big 10 producers in the world, he said the all-in cost, I believe he said, was $1,500 all-in, meaning to replace reserves. And that was before we were talking about 20% declines in production. So I got to think that the all-in cost for gold, if you wanted to replace reserves, it's gotta be pushing $2,000 right now. So there's always going to be a magnet pulling the price up, no matter how much fintech is trying to push the price down. And then the other magnet, of course, is going to be the printing of money. And, you know, while it may be losing some market share to Bitcoin, which is the other pink elephant that no one in the professional community wants to admit to, it really doesn't matter, because my scenario is that trillions of dollars are going to be leaving the legacy financial assets over the next decade, partly because of Bitcoin and partly because these sectors are overvalued historically, and because, you know, bad things are coming to the fiat system. So gold will have more than its share of a larger pie to deal with, but it will do it silently. It will not do it as the focal point of the monetary universe, which is great for gold holders, because, you know, the old scenario was the world falls apart and gold goes up and governments come after it. Well, governments are not going to be coming after gold anymore. Gold is no longer their top nemesis. But that said, it's still one of the great money storage of value assets of all time. And it's been heavily suppressed. And I have no doubt it's going to go a lot higher. So there's no need to be a gold bug anymore. Just invest in a cheap asset and watch it go up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, hey, you got any questions, comments for Andy or myself? Email us kl@carrylutz.com. Don't forget Andy's site, cryptogoldcentral.com. Get a free 7-day subscription. Andy, we will catch up with you next week, as always, and have a good one.
You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.